Hello, everyone. This is future Aaron Robertson speaking, and today we are going to be recapping episode 7 of Karma. So for this episode, we will be having the pink team join us, or I should say Justin joining us. We tried to reach out to Avon and have her join us, but our schedules didn't exactly line up. We were hoping maybe we could interview Avon separately, and if we do get that opportunity in the future, that will likely come out as a separate special podcast in the future. But for now, I hope that you enjoy our episode 7 recap with Justin. So without further ado, here's the recap. Insert time travel didgeridoo here.
Hello, and welcome to Karma Recaps episode number 7. So we finally have our final two teams. It was so sad seeing the pink team leave here. But before we get into all that, let's introduce our panel that's always with me. First, we have Monroe from Endurance 3 Hawaii. How are you, Monroe?
You know, I'm not doing too bad, given the state of the world right now.
Yeah, that's always a good place to be, especially in this current year. And Keaton, I also have Keaton from Endurance 2.
Hi, guys. I'm repping, you know, my pink and purple teams right now. But, ooh, you know, like Monroe, just trying to get through this time.
Yes. And also in pink, we have Lily from season 5 of Endurance High Sierras. And she also worked on Karma. So we got that perspective as well.
Hey, how you guys doing? I'm excited to talk about episode 7. It's one of my favorites.
Ooh, and you said that you did the odd episode, so you edited this episode, correct?
I did, yeah. So I was the story producer for this episode, so I didn't technically edit it, but I was the first step of the editing process. So I give all the pieces to the editor, and then they make it look pretty, basically, and add music.
So let's get down to it. So we just lost Blue, and we have our final three teams.
Dun, dun, dun! Dun, dun, dun.
Pink, yes. Red, and purple. It's a great three.
Yeah, very close colors to each other. I've always had this theory that typically on these kinds of things, teams that choose similar colors will end up working together a lot. Oh. So like a red, a purple will work together. You might see like a yellow and a green, or a yellow and an orange work together. You could
a green, a brown, and a yellow work together.
Yeah. I mean, those colors all go together.
Coming from somebody who has, and Monroe, you can probably, because Monroe, you made it to the final three, right?
I did.
It's a big deal. Like that was a milestone, like participating in a game like this, that you were like, oh my gosh, like it all of a sudden kind of snapped you back into the fact that not only are you playing a game, but you're this close to the prize. And I remember they gave us Gatorade and Snickers, and we were so excited to get sweets. We didn't have to run around to like find our sweets. That was a gift to us for making it into the final three.
They gave you, they bribed you with some Gatorade. The thing I liked about the final three was that you were past the point of like the popularity contest. There was really no like alliances left, because either you won the challenge or you were going to in this case, the cave. I mean, sure, there's like the coin element here, but really you could hang out with your fellow, players without feeling like there's this subtext of they might backstab me. So that is what I did appreciate about this particular round.
Yeah, it's actually, and you see it right at the beginning when they're reading the letter from Blue. Blue leaves their medallions to Purple, but Blue also says, don't trust Pink, in Avon's interview right after that. It's like, LOL, like, don't trust Pink. I mean, truthfully, it doesn't really matter anymore, because whoever loses is going to the cave.
Yeah, was it you that said that on your season, or was it Mike that said it? I've never forgot. Someone said on your season, like, at this point, like, there's no more strategy. And it was like, you're kind of right. Like, it's
I think that sounds like something Mike would say. But I remember like that also just elevated the kind of stakes for that challenge of this episode. Like that is it, that challenge feels so much bigger than any other challenge because you win that and you're in the finals.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that challenge looks tough. I will say I don't like the paddleboard. So I know I would not have liked this challenge, let alone done well at it.
And there's also a luck element to this. This feels like a luck mission to be, or luck piece kind of endurance mission. Just in terms of the element of you can paddle out there, but it really comes down to where you go and what you choose, you know, and if you manage to get back there with the right amount of numbers, you know, you could pull out a win here.
And this one was a photo finish. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we are going to have to debrief what happened at that box there at the where you put the number in the whatever it was. It was like on a pedestal or something. But man, there was a few of these challenges this season where it was truly a photo finish that shaped the outcome of the game in really mm-hmm. profound ways.
Yeah. And I loved the cinematography in this challenge. Just the shot of them pulling up the different discs. And
yeah,
the underwater
like a POV, attached like a GoPro on there on a couple of them. Because I know with Survivor, at least we would like with the POV team, which is the team that basically hides all the cameras within the challenges, so they can get the angles that the big cameras can't get. Uh-huh. You know, they find those unique places to really capture those moments that are so much more intimate than kind of a big wide shot or a medium shot that you can only get from like sticks and on a camera, you know, behind everybody.
That's how you guys do it.
I used to love assisting the POV team because I would get to climb up on the challenge and stuff before like the survivors had to. So I, you know, being a super nerd, I was like, ooh, look at me, like I'm going to tie this here. Like, I loved it.
And so with that, you know, we have Jack breaking down the final three for us. So, you know, he says Red has had a target on their back since the beginning.
Did they, though? I mean, setting Yellow had a target on their back since the beginning.
Yeah,
after Green.
True. I would say Red's target was there, but it was very overshadowed. I mean, they didn't get sent to the cave for a while.
I feel like Red had the luxury of being in the middle. So, you know, we've seen this dynamic where we started out with this gray, blue, and red alliance. But from the first challenge where, you know, Huck told the red team, hey, throw this challenge for us. We're not going to send you to Temple. Hey, we might send you to the cave. Kind of pushed Red more towards the other teams, towards the pinks and the purples of the world. And I mean, the final five, I mean, they were pretty much going to be sitting in the middle between gray and blue and pink and purple. And it's really funny to see how, you know, Red being in that position allowed them to be in the final three along with pink and purple here.
I think Red has, over like compared to all the teams, I think they're the team that were the most well-rounded when it came to strategy, socializing, game, like challenge win slash challenge, just how they did in the challenges. I think like they really, like, even as we see them in the, they were kind of middle ground like the whole way. It's weird though, because I feel like they probably were performing better than anybody.
I feel like Red Team, I see them as the team that is almost as surprised that they're there than anyone else. Like, because I think that especially Andy at the beginning maybe thought that they weren't going to go that far. And then they did. And it's like, oh, like, we're still here. Like, we actually could win this. They're in the final three now. And I think that they've gained a lot of confidence, especially after coming back from the cave.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to Pink. You know, Pink was a very likable team since the very beginning. I think, you know, Pink had the benefit of not only being able to bond with the other teams, such as, you know, your purples of the world, but they also had a tie to that green-red green, gray, red, blue alliance because of Justin's connection with Sienna. And they also gained momentum. I mean, they're continuing, well, not past this episode, but they were starting to gain a lot of momentum here for these last few episodes, winning, you know, two challenges here before they're cut here.
Yeah, I thought that they were pretty underestimated at the beginning, but they brought it. They won two challenges at two of the hardest ones, I think.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think. Sorry, Monroe, go.
I'm like, I remember they won the Headstrong Challenge, but what was the other?
The one with the bags getting thrown into the buckets.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, I think Avon and Justin were like just, I feel like they both had a lot of screen time, but a lot of screen time talking about things that weren't about them being a team. So I think of them so much more as individuals than the pink team. But I like them both so much as individuals. So like that made me want to root for the pink team. They both have great stories. Just seem like all around like good kids and were just really fun to watch, go through this game and experience.
That is such a good point.
Yeah. I think they were definitely probably the most versatile team that's there. I mean, from the very beginning, we have Justin talking about, hey, I found this compartment in the back of these medallions. What is that? To, you know, Avon really being, you know, from her position, being able to sit back and really watch everybody else and say, okay, these people are together, these people are together, and really spelling that out for us. And consistently throughout this, you know, despite maybe not being in major alliances, they were still well liked enough to be kept around and in the loop and benefit from other people having to make those karma decisions. They weren't the one, you know, sending people to the cave at the beginning, at least. So they got to benefit from that and really make those social connections. And it's no surprise that Pink is still here, or well, was still here.
Yeah, we'll have to ask them, because I think that other teams noticed too that they seemed like they were trying to go under the radar at the beginning, and I think that they were, but you know, eventually you can't be under the radar anymore, and yeah, once you're in the final three,
the spotlight is on you. I want to go back to that point that Keaton made around they seemed like two individuals, because until you said that, I had never really realized that I also felt that same way. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, they didn't come across as a team divided in the ways that we see sometimes, but they did feel like always kind of on their own. And the only time in memory that stands out as of them doing anything together is that one time when they were sending the two teams up to the cave, and when Avon stepped away to need some more time to think about it. Other than that, though, Keaton, you're right. They did kind of come across as, you know, the only binding agent was the fact that they both had pink shirts on. And I don't know if that's just the way it came across. It seemed like they liked each other quite a bit. So that doesn't seem to stand out in my memory.
It seems like they were in different social groups within, like, you know, within the kids and within the camp. I think a lot of the social groups like probably like overlapped and stuff. And again, all these kids felt like they were all friends at the end of the day, but like, you know, even though you're all friends, there are certain people that click more than others. And so it just felt like those two were in maybe contrasting social groups. But so for them to make it as far as they did with kind of having these differences and seeming somewhat divided, that's props to them, because they were able to come together in the end and work together as a team.
I actually think that having different social groups within one partnership, like friends being friends with teammates, being friends with all different people, is a huge advantage, because then more teams will be less likely to send you to the cave. So I don't think I don't know if that was on purpose or if that was really the game changer for them, but they were definitely safe all the way up to the final three.
Absolutely. And
I'm having a real bad memory lapse here, but I I'm picturing the paddleboard challenge with the final three teams, but then also the challenge where they were running to the crow's nest and back and getting the codes.
That is correct. What happens here is that after Red wins the challenge, both Pink and Purple receive two coins to go into the Cave of Karma, but there's also an extra coin that is up for grabs. So basically, there are 50 combinations that are inscribed on the crow's nest, and they have to run from, you know, the middle of camp all the way out to the crow's nest, pick a combination, run all the way back, try that combination on this chest that's on the table. If the combination opens it, then the game ends. Otherwise, just keep
run back.
Going back and forth.
Yeah. This reminded me of the challenge in Fiji, where it was just exhausting. The back and forth, the back and forth. And unfortunately, it was all luck-based. So, yes, there was an element of who can run the fastest. And, you know, you can obviously up your odds the more often you get to the tree first and pull some numbers. But at the end of the day, it's a luck-based thing. And you know, I was just impressed with Jack for the first time. In a physical challenge, that boy is running, and he's running fast. Like, you know, for him to be right behind Justin, that really kind of stood out to me. It was kind of cool to see, okay, cool. You know, he does have a lot of physical competitiveness too, just not as well-rounded as some of the other players.
Yeah, definitely a performance. And Skylar even commented afterwards, you know, how proud she was of Jack's effort in that challenge, and, you know, not giving up and really, you know, pushing themselves to make sure they're able to get all these combinations. You know, even though Justin opens it, but, you know.
I mean, come on. We got to give Justin some love for this one because he was.
Yeah, to Justin. Can I say... I know, Keaton, you loved Aaron's confessionals. I have to say my favorite person that gave confessionals during Karma was Justin. Hands down. I really do. Because just the extra, like the extra comments at the end, just those little asides really, really brought that extra, I don't know, hilarity to what he was saying. I just enjoyed all of them.
You must be referring to the time he's like, we got the extra coin. Woohoo! And then he's like, what's he saying? He's like, oh, I went a little crazy there. Sorry.
Funny. No, Justin, he, again, such a great character. Such a, you know, you could just tell he's like a really nice kid and just like, doesn't take himself too seriously and close to his mom.
Speaking of that, like, what did you guys think about the letters from home that they got in this episode?
The letters from home always make me cry, whether it's Survivor. I was really jealous that we never got that on Endurance.
Yeah, like, I was about to
say, that would have been really nice.
I know you guys, it always makes me uncomfortable. I am not the right audience for this moment because in Survivor 2, I can't do it. I don't know if I'm like emotionally broken when it comes to that. I cannot take that part. So I didn't, Lily, I got to be honest, I kind of skipped over it because it makes me uncomfortable. I know there's some listeners out there that do it too.
Yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was so sweet. And I thought that, you know, Skyla said it well, like, she almost forgot. Like, she was so focused on the game. She's like, oh yeah, I have a dad. Like, all these people are like, oh my God. Yeah. Like, we've been so focused on this game that we forgot, not that we forgot, but it's like, this is a reminder of what we're playing this game for and something that has pushed us all our lives, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I loved to see it.
And also the people, you know, we've learned to fall in love with all of these characters and all these kids, and to see kind of a piece of where they got these morals from, these little traits that we've learned to kind of love and kind of laugh along with. And so it was neat to see that. I look forward, like, it's But again, I told you, Jack's mom started following me on Instagram, and I'm like, ah! Like, you know, it's cool to see who made these cool kids.
Absolutely. And with that, we are getting ready to go to a break from our sponsors. We're going to hear from them. And then when we come back, we're going to have the Peak team join us, and we'll be talking with them. The majority is going to be spoiler free. And then at the end, we'll also talk about the finale with them as well. So looking forward to that. And with that, we're going to hear from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So I'm so excited to talk to you.
I got my pink gel pen for this one.
We're all in our pink today because, I mean, this is the person that found the compartment in the medallions. I mean, that second one. So that's definitely something to note here, and we'll love to hear about that in regards to the finale later. But for now, here is Justin.
Justin!
Hey!
Oh, how are you guys? Good.
How are you, Justin?
I'm doing good. I'm happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for taking the time.
I gotta say, it's a little weird to see you wearing blue.
Yeah, it's actually
it's purple.
Okay.
I think this was the shirt I wore on the second day. It was it was on my bureau. It was clean. I just threw it.
Clean shirts are important.
Yeah. What was the winning combination actually? Because I didn't know if we saw what it was.
It was 282. Yeah. Jack actually explained it because, you know, he's a like genius. He he actually said how it sort of like looked good in that. I'm not sure if this is why they chose that combination, but it sort of like looked good on paper, you know, 282. And I think it had some sort of mathematical like meaning behind it. I forget what it was, but
I actually remember what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if this was true, but this is what Jack came up with. He was 282, like I should have known. 2 times 8 is 6 and plus 2 is 18, which is what we started with. Yes. The amount of contestants.
I was like, I just picked a random one, but I didn't know we were strategizing that much.
So the Pythagorean theorem is like they solve the riddle or something, and the Fibonacci sequence.
So Justin, it's been a year since Karma. What's changed for you? How do you look back on the experience?
What's changed for me? I shaved my head. It's grown back. You know, I didn't realize how much I actually played with my hair until I saw, like, every shot I'm in, you'll just see me going like that or something, which I've actually been called out by my mom a few times for, like, being obsessed with my hair. But yeah, I just like it. I like having, like, one to touch.
Speaking of your mom, Justin, when she rewatched it with you, was she kind of being like, Justin, I told you to watch out for those girls. I told you.
Yeah. It was a little bit embarrassing, not going to lie. Saying all those things. And some of them I actually forgot I said. I forgot I said so many nice things about Sienna. So rewatching them and being like, oh, yeah, that was what I thought back then. It was a little embarrassing, not going to lie. But it was also really nice to just sort of reflect and be like, yeah, she was an awesome person to be with. And I'm happy I got a share with her.
I do want to say, we're not sure if Avon's going to make this time, but we hope to interview her in a future episode.
Yeah,
if not today.
So it's all about you, Justin. Get ready.
What?
All right. Justin, did you and Sienna have any type of relationship beyond the show besides friends?
So she lives in California and I'm from Massachusetts. So obviously, you know, she's on one side, I'm on the other. But we still talk a lot. We recently started talking a little bit more now that the show's out and now that she knew what I thought about her. We're still really good friends. She's still an awesome person. So we're still good friends. Yeah.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Justin, it seemed like your guys' strategy out the gate was to be under the radar. I mean, that's what other teams thought you were doing. Is that true? Did you want to be under the radar?
Oh, 100%. Actually, the first challenge we won, we didn't want to win. We went into every challenge thinking we're not going to be the first one out, but we don't want to be the one to win. That was until I'd say the seesaw one, we're going to throw the bags into the basket. We went in there. We were like, okay, same thing, you know, I'll try to get it like third or fourth. And we actually try to come up with a deal just so it didn't look like we were throwing it on purpose. But she ended up dropping before I could. And then Luke said, that seems to be their strategy. You know, they're just going to start coming after every one of us. And we didn't want that target on our back that early. Because only two other teams got out. I think we were there for a week, but only like two other teams got out. So it was still pretty short in the game. And we didn't really just want. Yeah. So we were trying to be under the radar, definitely 100%. And I think we did that. And even after we won, we sort of did with what everybody else wanted.
Now, I know like a lot of drama was surrounding the teams being made. That drama didn't seem too much to impact you and Avon. How did you guys feel about being partners? Did you guys talk about that before the partners were made? Was she kind of on your radar, or was that something that really shocked you and you guys kind of had to figure out how to work together?
So when I went into MAC, Avon wasn't a person who I didn't want, but I also wasn't like, I really want Avon. So when I got her, when Max said, you know, Justin and Avon, I was like, okay, you know, I can work with this because before the actual challenge, her and I never really got to sit down and have that much of a conversation like me and some other of the girls did. So obviously I was a little bit more closer with some of the other girls, and those are the girls who I mentioned for who I would want as a partner. But when I got Avon, I was like, okay, I can work with her. She seems like an awesome person to be. She was an awesome person to begin with. And in the Right to Stay challenge, she was in like dead last. And then she came and she was in like third. She really sort of sprung into action. So I was like, I have this awesome competitor with me. So hopefully we can get somewhere.
So how much did you guys base on the Right to Stay challenge? Because there was this element of you guys helping each other, but Justin, you're not the first one to bring up, you know, you were sizing up the other competitors based on the Right to Stay, but there was very much helping one another. So how much were you guys reading into what occurred in that challenge?
So Andy and Skyly, they were sort of the first few people to finish. So I was like, okay, they're definitely, you know, good physical people and mentally. Skyly, I saw she had a good head on her shoulders, and Andy did too. So I was like, I definitely, you know, I want them. They would probably be my top two. And then I mentioned I also wanted Sienna and Skyla, because she's a Boston friend of mine. She's right from Lowell, which is 3 minutes away. It was actually crazy how I had someone who lives that close to me.
That is wild.
So, yeah, I wasn't expecting that at all. So based off that challenge, I'd say all of my sort of first impressions were made off of the physical component. Now, off of how I actually felt about these people, that was made, you know, the first few days when we were still trying to get to know everybody.
That makes sense. Yeah. That's Skyly. It seemed like everyone wanted Skyly. The it girl of the moment, those first couple days. And I don't remember her in the Right to Stay. Maybe that's because she completed it so quickly that she just doesn't stand out. But
she was second.
She was Australia, a nice person. Like, she was probably the kindest girl out of everybody there. She was just a really nice. She was sort of the mom of the group. We called her the mom.
Justin, do you have a favorite memory from your time on Karma? Like, what's kind of your standout memory?
I'd say really just being there every day. I know that's sort of a lame answer. But really, my parents weren't there, so that was a plus. I was only 14, so I was like, my parents. And I was with kids all my age, and I was getting paid to be there, and I got food, I got a place to sleep, even though it wasn't, you know, the best place. But, and speaking of food, they actually didn't show this, but a story, a little behind the scenes thing. Lily, I think you remember this. Aaron and I went and we caught like 20 grasshoppers, and we were planning on cooking them, but we unfortunately weren't allowed to cook them. And I know you guys are thinking, what is with this kids and eating bugs? I don't just go around eating bugs. That's my main diet. I just really, you know, I wanted to sort of stand out. I know that might sound a little selfish, but I wanted people to be like, oh, I remember Justin because, or, you know, even some of the other contestants, he seems like a kid who's willing to take risks by eating bugs. So maybe we should keep him around. Maybe I should try to recruit him to be in my alliance. So everything I did sort of had a backup thing that I wanted to come up.
Strategic bugs.
Yeah. You seem like a really strategic person, Justin. Like, did you watch, are you a fan of like reality competition shows and stuff? Is that something that led you to kind of be on Karma?
Yeah, I am a huge Big Brother fan. I started watching it from like, I think, what is it? B2, I think now, this season. I started watching it from like BB15. You know, I'm not that great with names. But I definitely have some people who I was like, I wanted to take after them. I wanted, you know, I wanted to sort of base who I wanted. I wanted to base who I wanted to be seen as sort of off of them. And my mom watches Survivor, but she's not like a weekly Survivor. I'm not like Jack. I haven't seen all the seasons. But whenever it's on, I'll tune in and I'll watch it. So I took things from Survivor, and I also took things from Big Brother. And I sort of morphed those into what I try to do.
Yeah. And in terms of alliances, I know that we didn't really get to see Pink's perspective a lot on official alliances. Were there any teams that you were working with closely throughout the entire thing, or did it change throughout?
So the first day when we all had a film, you know, walking in that big walk along those rocks, Huck came up to me and he said, "Hey, you're looking like a really strong competitor," but I think he did this for like every other boy, so I'm not.
Call out!
The thing with Huck is I think he did his research and like he watched these shows, but I think the way he executed them, he sort of did it too out there. He sort of was a little bit oblivious to what other people, like we all knew that he had some sort of strategy going. And that's sort of where I came from. I was like, I don't want people to think I have a strategy, but that would be my strategy, not having one. But to answer the alliance question, Purple and Pink, we made a final two. They didn't show us talking about it, but we had one. Because Jack and I, it was me, Jack, Luke, and Aaron, before we even got any of the teams, before the right to stay, us four were like, we were all like that. We were all so close. We were all really just like good
and
friends.
And that ended up being
look at how that turned out. Yeah.
You, Jack, Luke, and Aaron.
Yeah, that was the final four.
Yeah.
But towards the end, I'd say Luke, I don't want to say got on my bad side because I love him like a brother. But I sort of was getting a little bit annoyed, not annoyed, but he was sort of the one who I wasn't really as close with. I was close with Jack, I was close with Aaron, and I was close with Luke, no doubt about it. But I he wasn't as close in terms of game. But
well, and it seemed like Luke was closest to Huck.
Much valued that. And yeah,
I'm not sure if I per se would have made that decision of going with the gray team because of how they were sort of the new yellow when yellow got out, and because of that. Pink sort of approached Gray when yellow got out. We said, "Hey, this next challenge is coming up. What are you thinking?" And we sort of made a final two. Now, we weren't going to stay true to it, obviously, as we took them out. But you know, that's it's a game. It's a game.
Justin, you're a little heartbreaker, Santiana.
I mean,
do you have any regrets? I mean, part of your strategy was going with the rest of the teams so you wouldn't make anybody mad. Do you have any regrets on that or not really?
I'd say it worked out pretty well for Pink Team. Obviously, you know, we didn't win. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
I mean,
you can say that. It's episode.
Yeah.
Obviously, we didn't win, but we did come in third. So I'd say that was a pretty good accomplishment. In terms of regrets, you know, Pink didn't really want to be that team, you know, the team to beat, because we were fine with just sort of being, you know, the team who you can talk to about stuff and who won't tell any other team. So we were like the best friend. We were the best friend team.
I really relate to that strategy because that's kind of what Mike and I, when I was on Endurance, tried to do. We just tried to be the nice team that everybody kind of wanted to hang out with and wasn't really threatening, even though we won challenges, but like didn't try.
right. Exactly. Yeah.
It's a great strategy.
Yeah.
And episode 4, you and Avon sort of had a very interesting storyline there when Avon didn't want to send yellow for a third time. and you said strategically, we really got to do this. Like, what was that like? Was that tough for you at all? And was it tough for Pink to make that decision? Seems like it was.
In terms for me, you know, obviously I'm not the Pink team, but in terms for my part of being the Pink team, we were still trying to do that strategy, you know? We could have purple, red, and blue mad at us, or we could have, you know, just yellow or gray mad at us. And I would much rather have two teams who one of them won't even be there that night, rather than three teams who could win next week. Avon, you know, I think, and she actually said this, she said that she was playing more out of emotion, which I think has its times to come. But I think in terms, you know, especially when you're in power, you have to play more strategical. And, you know, it's not for everybody, strategy wise. You know, she's an emotional person. She's been through a lot in her life, nothing against her. But I'd say for strategy wise, we made the right decision.
I think that clears it up, because I had mentioned in an earlier episode how, I don't think that didn't seem like an emotional decision Avon was making, because she seemed very, like, to spell it out strategically of, hey, Yellow hasn't really won, you know, any challenges as a team. Why would we send them when we have all these other teams who have? But, you know, well, knowing now that you were so close with those other teams, it makes sense of why you felt like that was an emotional decision more than a strategic decision.
But not even that. If you look at all the other challenges, the other teams didn't really let the Yellow team win, right? And that was also sort of strategy. All the other, you know, obviously not the water challenges, but all the land challenges were sort of social politics. So if we ganged up on them, then we didn't really let them prove themselves, which was sort of what we were trying to do, because we just wanted them out. You know, Eli came in second. Ilya beat two of the guys. Not that, you know, girls can't do anything, guys they can. All obviously they can't. Girl power. But but you know, so it's not that they didn't win any challenges. I just say it's more that the other teams didn't really let them.
You guys kind of ganged up on them. Yeah. Kind of what you're. Yeah. All right. Mm-hmm. All right.
What was your thoughts during, when was this? I want to say, was it Final Four or Final Four, during that whole scavenger hunt challenge, searching
for
the sweet
challenge?
Yeah, yeah.
So before we even began that challenge, we all agreed, hey, whoever finds it, we're going to share, which now that we won, I sort of regretted doing. But I wanted all the ice cream for myself and Avon. And I'm happy we did, because, you know, even if we didn't, the other team, really, I was thinking everything game-wise. Everything I did, all the moves I made were game-wise. So if I had to say, you know, we're going to share. We're that team who will give, if you help us, we'll help you. In this case, we'll give you sugar. We all talked, and all the teams talked, and we all sort of agreed, you know, let's whoever wins, share.
Justin, do you have a favorite challenge in your memory of all the ones you did?
Yeah. This the Rise Up challenge, where we had to fill the tube. They didn't show it, but that was a blast. I ran into Andy so many times, but it was so much fun. Like, I knew Pink. I didn't really need to win, because, you know, no one really even knew Pink was really a team. Like, they knew we were a team, obviously, but they didn't know we were like a big team who they had to get out. So I was just enjoying myself there. And I was with people who I've become so close with. I was, you know, I had water in my hand. So I was running, and I loved it. That was probably my favorite challenge.
Not I'm surprised you say challenge. That, because I would have hated that one. You must like running.
Yeah. But no, it wasn't even because of the challenge itself. It was because I just had so much fun doing the challenge. Yeah. I was with everybody. I was running into everybody. It was like a lacrosse game. Not really, because, you know, we didn't have sticks or balls. But it was physical, which I didn't really show, but I'm a physical guy. You know, I go on runs, I lift weights. But yeah, that was my favorite challenge.
What position do you play in lacrosse? I'm a former state champ lacrosse player, so I'm just curious. I know, right?
Yeah, I'm a defender, but I think I'm going to try to go to defensive midi.
Oh, I love my defense. Yeah. I was goalie.
I played goalie once, and I did not like it. I'm not a fan of having lacrosse balls being thrown at me.
I blame my older brother, because he played lacrosse, and he used to just throw me in the goal and be like, okay, we're going to come shoot on you now. And then I just had to get quick, or I got hit
with the ball. That's how I am. I have two older brothers, and they're all sports guys. So I was thrown into it too.
You mentioned earlier that, you know, you were the giving team. So in the spirit of giving, would there be any advice that you would give to those who may do something like Karma in the future, or just general advice or anything that you've learned from your experience on Karma?
I'd say if you're trying to make it far, don't win any of the first challenges. Let the other teams win them and just sort of do what we did, just fly under the radar, because we got pretty far and we didn't really do anything. Look who won and look how many challenges they won, you know? So there's obviously two types of games you can play. You can play the physical game and be a beast, or you can just sort of let everybody else duke it out. And then you can just let, you know, them take all the shots while you're just sort of there. As long as you're not the target, obviously, like if you're being targeted for that elimination, then go all out, win, do whatever you can.
Right.
But if you're sort of not a threat, then you have no reason of putting that target on your back.
Justin, is that why you decided not to do the fit to pick challenge? Which is the one that Mac won? Because
yes,
he didn't want...
Exactly. 100%. That is the sole reason why I said, you know what, I'm going to sit this one out. And you know, everyone says, oh, I feel bad for the people. Oh, you know, people there. We were standing there for 40 minutes straight, okay? And it's not like we could go on Instagram or anything. We were just standing there with people we met 2 days ago, trying to have that awkward conversation of like, hey, what are you like? Oh, I'm like this. And then the conversation's over. Because we weren't as close as we were towards the end. So people are feeling all bad for the people who are lifted over water. But, you know, we had it pretty rough, too.
Standing off to the side. Oh, you had to stand for about 40 minutes. Oh, my God.
Right? It's awful. It's awful.
Small talk. Yeah.
Right? The worst.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll move into the spoiler territory here. So I'm going to let all the spoiler-free people go. If you haven't watched the finale by now, do that, come back, listen to the end here. And so, spoiler, woo-hoo. Okay, so for these last few minutes, let's talk about this finale. So what was that like, being there with all of the other teams watching Red and Purple compete against each other in this final challenge? Did you like the challenge? Would you have done well?
I think if it was us against Red, it would have been pretty even. But, you know, Jack, I'm pretty sure Jack had it figured out within like minutes, because he's Jack. His brain works like that. It's wired like that. I'm not saying that we wouldn't have got, you know, what goes around comes around, because the clues were pretty good. And the final challenge with the bags and the medallions, I think I would have done pretty well, because I worked out that summer. I got in shape for Karma. So I think I would have done pretty well in terms of that. I think we could have beat out Purple Team in that challenge. When I was rooting, I was secretly rooting for Purple. But I don't know if they used any of the audio. I was like, go both teams. You're both doing great. Just because, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. I know we were out, but you never really know in a game of Karma.
But you did give your clue to the Purple team. What was your basis behind that?
It was the final two. Before Purple and I, Pink, went to the cave, we're like, hey, you know, whoever gets out, we're rooting for each other. Now, was Purple going to stick true to that? We don't know, because look what they did to Blue. You know, they had several final twos. So, but Pinkwood, we actually gave our medallions to Purple, but they edited that out for the challenge. So we were loyal to Purple all the way.
And Justin, like, you were the first one to kind of find that compartment. When you finally figured out what exactly that is, that what you thought that compartment would have been, or what did you think when you first found that compartment, what it was?
At first, I didn't even know if it was anything. I just thought, you know, this is how they're made. I thought that's how they're assembled. But then I actually saw, you know, rewatching the show, and I was like, that actually meant something. I was like, I caught it. I knew it. I was sort of tooting my own horn. I was like, you know what? I would have been happy, you know, if I was on screen, if I was still there, and Michelle came and she said, this is what this is. I would have been so pumped. I was like, yes, I knew.
Michelle, you missed the opportunity to pump up Justin, give him his credit.
Did you tell that to anybody else, or did anybody else bring that up, or that was just a you thing?
I think that was just me. I went away. I got the handheld camera, and I just sort of said, you know, I see this. It's moving a little bit. There's a hole. I don't know. I was actually debating whether or not to like grab a stick and try to fiddle with it, but I didn't want to break it because I didn't want to have to pay for it. But I really, I knew it was something. I just didn't know what.
Justin, you guys, so you gave your clue to the purple team because of your final two alliance, but there was a lot of strategy from purple that you guys didn't even know about till you watched the show. Like, when you watched the show, were you surprised? Were you rooting even more for purple than you thought you were before?
So during the show, they didn't show this, but Jack and I, we were really close and we sort of had the same strategy. So we would sort of talk because we knew that, like, despite anything, we knew we didn't want to win any challenges. And I was fine. I probably, thinking back on it, I probably think I should have gone him out sooner. But we sort of talked about what we were doing. And because, you know, I'm a pretty loyal guy, I said, you know what, we're going to give it to purple. So
I don't know why, but when I was watching the show, I thought you and Huck were like buddies. And that's why I was really surprised when you guys sent the great team to the cave. I'm like, did I miss something here? But definitely wasn't picking up on the four team alliance that you had noticed. Do you think Huck also might have thought that you guys were closer friends than you were? Or was that just something that perhaps we, the viewers, didn't read into it properly?
No, you're 1,000% correct. Huck and I, we were so close. But at the end of the day, you know, while we were filming, these people aren't my friends. These people are people I'm trying to beat. You know, I know Eli said these are still people, and they were. I'm not degrading any of them, but I'm saying these weren't during the 9 hours of the day when we were filming. These are people who are trying to steal the money I came here to get. So we were. Huck and I were best pals. We still hang out. Yeah. Huck and I, we're probably going to hang out, I think, like in a few weeks. We're all going to try to get together. So him and I, you're 1,000% right on all of us were, you know, Aaron and I just hung out today, actually. Really? You guys are, but you were 1,000% right. Him and I were, we were really close. And, you know, obviously CNN and I, we sort of had our little thing, but at the end of the day, it is a game. And I promised myself, you know, I'm going to put my emotions here, but I'm going to put my strategy above that.
Okay. You guys.
Do you and Aaron live near each other?
No, I'm actually at my aunt's right now. I'm in Maine and he's from Maine. So we just
thought.
Oh, awesome.
Very nice.
I want to ask you about your friendship with Avon, because it seemed like you really grew because of her. Mm-hmm. And I mean, had you not met someone before who was kind of in her circumstance, and what did that teach you?
I've never met anyone who didn't have their parents. You know, I'm from a really small town where you sort of know, everyone sort of knows everyone. And it's not that that doesn't happen. I'm sure it does. I just don't know of it. But to sort of be that close with someone, you know, she was my partner and her life is completely different than mine. And I knew that I had to be grateful for the things I have. Like, even my parents, you know, you sort of think everyone has their mom and dad, but they don't. Everyone doesn't. And that's the sad truth to meet someone and to get as close as someone like Avon, you know, being my partner who struggles with that every day. It's not like a thing that goes away the next night that sticks with you. So I just sort of had to learn and I had to be there for it.
Aw, that's really great. Yeah,
that is really great.
Thank you.
Any final words here before we head out here?
Thank you guys for having me. I love doing this. This is awesome. You know, I think I said this in like Michelle's live. I don't know if you guys watch this, but this is what I want to do, you know, maybe not reality, but I do want to get into, to TV, to film, to theater, whatever I can sort of get my hands on to tell a story. So that's it. Also one thing I noticed when I was, talking about Sienna, I said I liked your teeth, which I sort of, you know, cringe when I watched. I meant her smile. I meant I liked her smile.
I mean, the girl has great teeth. She's got good teeth.
She's got good teeth. I did not question that because she's got great teeth.
I think that came across that you meant smile.
Okay. All right.
Justin, where can we, to keep up with kind of all your future adventures and stuff, where can we follow you?
I have a Instagram and a TikTok, same name, justin.darigo. That's D-A-R-R-I-G-O. And those are sort of my two main things I use. So yeah, if you want to follow me there, I haven't gotten a lot of followers, which I'm pretty psyched about.
Do you have a YouTube where you put your musical theater on or anything?
I don't. I should probably start one. I might do like a, when things start to open up, I might do a, I don't know, maybe like a vlog. I don't know. I don't want to like be David Dobrik Jr.
Now I just want to know, what is your dream musical theater role? I didn't realize you did musical theater.
Yes, I love meeting fellow
Aaron Burr. Aaron Burr, 100%. Or what's the guy from Les Mis? He sings "Bring Him Home." He's played by Cole Wilkinson. I can't get my voice up that. Yes, I should know that. That's like the main character. I can't get my voice up that high yet. But then again, you know, I am 15. My voice cracks a lot. I can't really get into my head voice. But with training, I'm going to try to do it, you know?
Dude, you give me a lot of Aaron to that vibe. So watch Aaron's stuff. Yeah. I feel like you could you give me a lot of his vibe. So,
Justin, I want you to do a duet with Skyly. Please put it out.
Okay. My singing is not good. It's not that good. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to get that out there right away. It's not that good, but you know, I sort of get roles by like selling the song. That's what I'm pretty open with my parents. You know, I'm not a good singer. So they just say, bring them the show. Don't maybe bring them the song, but bring them the show.
Oh,
that's what I do. That's what I
do. Do it, man.
Okay. Go ahead.
Don't give away all your tips now.
I know.
I'm going to down. I need to keep these down.
Thank you so much, Justin. It's been such a pleasure.
Great to talk to you. Thank you for joining us.
Yes. Thank you so much.
And great
Good
job.
Luck with everything, Justin. And congrats.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Justin.
Okay.
We love you, Justin. I love Justin so much.
I love Justin. I love this.
He's such a high energy kid. Like he's just so excited about whatever he's talking about. He's a passionate kid.
I want to see Justin in a show now.
I do too.
Now that I know he does theater too, so excited.
I know. We're gonna see him somewhere. It's like when you least expect it, and you go to the night of the town. Like,
Justin gives me those Glenn Powell vibes from like my season. Like he very much like Glenn was this like super athletic, like charismatic, like very much of a jock, but like he also was this like little like actor who started exploring acting, and like now the dude's gonna be in Top Gun. So like you didn't know that?
No. I didn't. You know, when we were talking about Glenn, the other podcast, I really did not know who he was. No shade, Glenn. It sounds like you're doing big things these days. I don't know him that well.
Glenn got out in the right to stay, and he was like, you have not seen the last of me.
Yeah, he was like, you will never forget me. Have you ever seen Scream Queens? He has a great role in Scream Queens. And
wait, who was he in Scream Queens?
Chad. He played Chad.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
You can follow Glenn.
My life is changing right now. I should have known he was from Endurance too. I don't know why I haven't.
What's his name on the show?
Oh gosh, we're gonna have to cut this out because
this is nothing to do with the episode of Karma, but thank you so much for joining us. And we shall see you on the flip side later. All right, bye.
Thank you.
Wait, do we need to say who we all are or where to follow us? Do you want to?
Oh yeah, you know, yeah. We're
bring it back.
Okay, rewind. Where can we find everybody? You can find me on Instagram at the Orange Double A, on Twitter at AARobertson94.
You can find.
Go ahead, Keaton.
Jinx. You can find me all over the interwebs at Keaton Markey.
You can find me on Instagram at Tiger Lily Brown. I'm on Twitter at Lily27Sings. And I am also running the Karma Instagram at Karma on HBO Max.
Woo.
And you can find me, you guys, on LinkedIn. 10,000 followers!
Yes! Help us with the taxes.
I love it so much!
For taxes.
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, that wraps up episode 8. Yeah. I loved it.
Love Pink Team. Hate to see him
go. And we'll see you for the finale episode 8 in just a few moments when you listen to episode 8.